theoretical classes, and in Mirz Hashem, we'll have two more actually practicing what we're learning. So the next time, Mirz Hashem will be in 2 weeks, will be a text of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and perhaps a text of the Ramchal. And the following, the next class, which is second class after this one, will be the practice using a text of the Ramchal in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So we are on page 1 at the last line. So we spoke about the last time that there are two concepts of the unity of Hashem. One of them is called the lower unity, which means that God is the only God. Reality exists. Only God created reality. God run reality. God intervenes in our reality. That's a lower form of reality. There is a higher form of ichud, of unity, that is called monism. It's the feeling and the understanding that God is everything. There's no real reality. We are nothing but a constructed reality. That nothing exists. We are only a construct within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no separateness. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the unity that actually nothing exists. And this is called the highest form of unity. It's called Ichud HaIloh. And the Zohar is full of these two Ichudim. Ichud HaTatot, the lower form of Ichud, which is separate existence with God controlling and intervening, a higher existence than nothing exists. So, let's look at the last line. Hine mitzad hasagat Ichud Amiti. If you go ahead and you're able to perceive the real unity, in makom l'zchut v'chova klal, there's no such a thing as merit and demerit. Kivan shu mesik shenot milvad klal, there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing. There's no trait. There is nothing. There's no reality. Harei kol peulot adam gam kem peulot Hashem yitbarach. Whatever you do, Hashem is doing. There is no person. There is no self. It's completely the inexistence of everything. Right? That's what the verse says. If you do something good, what are you giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can't give. He is everything. Okay, what can he take from you? Everything is God. There is no separateness. There is no self. And this is truth in this higher form of perception. There are three verses that say, that God said, I did evil. You don't do anything. You don't exist. So, but this is one perception. But there is another perception that a person is separate. He has his self-existence. And not only he has self-existence, he has self-control, that he has the choice to do and to choose. The Ilu Tzadik V'Rasha Lo Kamar, the Gemara Nida says that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even give you the mandate to be a Rosh or a Tzadik. You are the one who decides. The Imloken, Makom L'Torah Klal, because all the Torah is based upon the presumption that we have the choice to do good and bad. And this is the foundation of Torah. Now, how does this reconcile? How does freedom of choice, self-existence, schar va'onesh, reconcile with the reality of the true Yichud, which nothing exists? The inexistence of everything. How do the two reconcile? Hudovar omik meod lavin is something very, very deep to understand. Bekol ma sheigu chachmei adorot, and this is the struggle of life that they have done for generations. Leasbir inyan ha'idia ve'bechira. This is the Rambam says that two irreconcilable realities. There is one reality that we have the freedom of choice, and there is the reality that everything is already predetermined. God knows everything. In the deeper sense, not that God knows everything, God is everything. So how do these two reconcile? Lo yoyil lemasigei yichud amiti, to the people who understand the ultimate yichud. This is the conundrum that they face, shein oid milvad imamish. So this stira, this contradiction of yidiyah and bechira, that the Rambam looked at it as a contradiction between knowledge, predetermination, and freedom of choice. In a higher sense, it's between the lack of reality and the concept that we have to deal with reality, that struggle, says the Tzodek, Bezor Chadash B'Sofer HaSefer, at the end of the Zohar, he says, U'B'Sefer HaBagim Ochekel Kesef Dari, B'Shem HaZohar, V'Sefer HaKana, V'Sefer Sefer Kedoshim Kotvu. What they write is something amazing. The Idea V'Abchira. These two perceptions, Hem B'Shtei Mekomot, those are the two existences, the two parallel realities. The reality of the idea of knowledge, of predetermination, and the reality of freedom of choice. The reality of the lower yichud and the reality of the higher yichud. B'mokom sheyesh yidiya ein bechira, in the reality, which is the reality of the yichud amiti, there is no bechira. U'b'mokom sheyesh bechira ein yidiya, and in the mokom with this bechira, there's no idea. There are two parallel universes, the two parallel realities. V'elu dvorim la'asig alamita derech tzviya. And these two realities, which are the two parallel universes, how you could understand it? Through contemplation. How these two realities can coexist. Is one of the most difficult meditative practices. To see how these two realities can coexist. These two existences, these two realities, in Chazal is the Etz Hadas and the Etz Chaim. There were two trees that they were supposed to be synchronized. And they broke the synchrony. So these two parallel universes, the universe of monism, that nothing exists, the lack of existence. And this universe, which there is a separate existence and God creates a distance, are two perceptive realities. And the two perceptive realities are universes that they go and they are parallel to each other. That's the universe of Bechira and the universe of Idea. And there are two perceptive forms. Now look at this. Bezeh hu sheta'acher. We know that there was somebody in the Tower of the Tanoim, right, of a fallen leaf. There was a big book written on him, like is a fiction written about Elisha ben Abuya. Elisha ben Abuya was a Tana that decided to leave Yiddishkeit. And Chazal dedicate a lot of thought into this Tana that became fry, became non-religious, became a heretic. So what was his mistake? His mistake is lachshov shtem shtei reshuyot. He thought that these two universes were two existences. They were two realities. Reshuyot, the Gemara says, he thought they were two reshuyot. What does reshut mean? That's about anhaga. The two forms of behavior, of how God rules the universe. Kmotit vadala rashut v'chashav shem shtei anagot shlod v'dom zom izu. Acher thought that God created two parallel universes, and these two parallel universes are two parallel realities, and God relates to his creations into realities. So you could escape from one reality into the other reality. You could escape from your universe. As we know, the bodhisattva or Buddhism is the ability to escape from the trap of the called the samsara into the new reality. So Acher made the same mistake. Acher thought that these two parallel universes are irreconcilable. And therefore you want to escape from one reality to the next reality. And he says, for me, there's no Torah, mitzvahs. That doesn't exist. It's all God. There's Yichud Amiti. I don't exist. Nothing exists. Is this selflessness, the destruction of the self? He decided to do the two reshuyot. There are two realities, two perceptions. Take a look what he says. Ki lo yisig derech hayud migam bazeh. He made a mistake because he couldn't reconcile these two realities. V'chashav shenagat haTorah b'bchira, u'lim she'inu masig yichud amiti. He thought like this Torah is given to people who cannot reach that higher universe. Kamo kifim adol v'bahiu went, we know that he went up to the Pardes to meditative practices. He was able to perceive the reality and experience the reality of the world, that all things are constructed reality. But if you could understand, there's only God, there's nothing else. He thought that that's no anhogas haTorah, which is, by the way, all the religions, the Sufis. If you realize the Sufis, at the point of meditative practices, they want to escape. Buddhism, the Bodhisattva, they want to escape. Acher did the same thing. He wanted to do it. V'zeu kavanah limrod. That's what the Gemara says, that he wanted to rebel. What was he going to rebel? Shubi mitkaven asa kol sibot. He did all the Isurim. Not because he had the Yetzirah. He did with the intention to rebel, to basically reject the reality of Torah into a higher reality. Lo letava, he didn't do this for desire or for lust. Rak b'shavto shebazeu davuk b'yichud amiti. He wanted to rebel against this, to go into a higher perception. He says, I want to rebel this reality against this, to go and to reject this reality into something higher. Shelemala menagos ha-toyer b'zchut v'chava, to go to a higher perception. Hanimshech b'tzad kvod malchut itbarach. He wanted to escape the reality that exists, that there is a world and God rests and appears and intervenes, but there is a separate reality. He wanted to escape to a higher reality. Even though he was doing everything wrong, he did every avera, he was Bechal Shabbos. The opposite of Hashem Torah and Torah. He realized that there's no Shabbos, there's no reality, there's no self. He wanted to escape this reality. And he thought that this was the ultimate and the highest madriga that somebody could achieve to that. The Gemara says that what he did was to cut the leaves. There is a branch, and he wanted to cut the leaves, which means he wanted to separate the two realities and to escape into the other reality. He realized that they are irreconcilable. The Gemara says, this explains all the Gemaras. The Gemara says like this, that what was his mistake? Because he went into meditative practices and he saw that Metatron is the Saru Shalom. He saw that he was sitting in heaven. And he said, how is it possible? Ein yeshiva lemala. We know the Gemara says that no one can sit in heaven. Only God sits in heaven. He says, you know something? Must be the answer is very simple. Metatron is a Greek name. Metatron, Tosfos says, is Saro Shel Olam. He is the minister, the angel, how God relates to the world. That's why it's a Greek name, because it's a Greek reality. It's a physical, perceptive reality. And you realize that that reality is almost like a separate God. So he thought, you know something? You see God in two dimensions. And those dimensions are separate. So this Anhogas HaTorah, for the one who sees Metatron sitting, I'm beyond that. I want to escape that. And that's what he did to escape that. Now, it's something that, because he thought that these realities, if they would be compatible, you would see those two realities transpiring into each other. He thought there would be some kind of a connecting point. It's interesting. The Mishnah writes in all this. There is one Mishnah, Chazal, in all of rabbinic literature. We only quote, at least in my knowledge, one place we quote Elisha ben Abuya, what he said. What does he say? It's in the Mishnah in all this. He says, if somebody teaches a child who knows nothing, it's like somebody who's writing in a clean sheet of paper. Somebody who teaches somebody already later, it's like somebody who writes in a paper which has already been erased, that you can never erase completely. That's Elisha ben Abuya. That's the only thing we know directly from him. Why? What's so significant about this idea? But I think this has to do with another thesis. Chazal, throughout Shas, have many reasons. They were struggling to understand, why does Acher, such a great person, becomes this? How to say about Oisvov? And how does it, what's the gap? Everybody tries to reverse engineer. So Chazal, I told you, Kitzut Benitius, because he saw those two realities. I told you he saw Metat sitting. He realizes that there is a, almost like another God running this world. It's a different perception. The real God is a totally different thing. This perception doesn't exist of the real God. But the Gemara says another thing, that when he was born, the Yerushalmi, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, that when Elisha ben Abuya was born, his father was a very wealthy guy, Abuya was a very wealthy guy, and he makes a very big bris. And he invites everybody, and he invites all the Chachomim, and while the Chachomim were learning, there was a column of fire that came from the learning, and Abuya was so impressed. And he says, you know something? If the power of Torah is so great, I'm going to dedicate my son to learning. And that's what happened to Elisha ben Abuya. But what happens to Elisha ben Abuya? He goes and learns, and he realizes that this world, you don't see a quid pro quo. He sees two things that Gemara in Cholin says that drove him crazy. He saw Lishono shel Chutzpit HaMiturgeman, the tongue of Chutzpit HaMiturgeman was taken by Hadrian, by the Romans, and was dragged. Not only he was killed, but he was his body was defiled. Or he saw, the Gemara has another shaila, that he saw a child following his father's orders to take a shiluach hakan to expel a bird, doing the two mitzvahs that the Torah says, leman narach teyamim, the kid takes a letter, goes to take the bird, falls and dies. And he says, you know something? This doesn't work. And he decided to leave. Now you understand something. Because he was expecting the world to be connected, that this world would not be separate from the world of the real, that's only God. He was expecting that there is to be some connection. And in the truth is, these two realities are apparently disconnected. And therefore he says, if they are disconnected, I want to escape from reality one to reality two. And it was so much a powerful, you know why the Mishnah says, because you know why that happened? That he thought that would be a connection between the two universes, he's blaming his father. Because he had unreasonable expectations from his father. His father said, listen, I want to have my son learning Torah because if you learn Torah, you have miracles. So he had unreasonable expectations. When he saw that that doesn't work, he realized that these two universes, the universe of God and the universe here are separate, are two separate realities. And therefore he says in the Mishnah, be very careful. Because if you teach somebody fresh, it's great. But if you have preconceived notions, it's impossible to take them off. And that preconceived notion of his father, that was expecting the world here to reflect the reality of the other universe, was unreasonable expectation, but he was expecting. When he didn't see it happening, he came up with the conclusion that these two perceptions, the separateness of the world, and the world which is all godly, are two different perceptions, and he wanted to escape from one to the other. And that was the mistake of Acher. That's why the Mishnah quotes Elisha ben Abuya, to tell that Elisha ben Abuya, what he added to the Jewish canon is this, that many times the mistakes that we make in life, he made a mistake in Kabbalah, right? He made a mistake in his meditative practices. He saw these two worlds to be disconnected. It's all because of a preconceived notion that his father gave when he was a little child to say that if they are connected, you've got to expect it to happen. And when he sees that it doesn't happen because Betat is sitting or because he sees Chutzpis HaBeturgeman instead of getting Sachar, he's being defiled. When he sees a child dying, he realizes that the two are separate. When he says, no, something that's separate, let me say it to the other.
When a student, Rabbi Meir talks about the Tochel and the Klipa, these two different elements.
Those are the two universes he's talking about. He's saying that's why, exactly, now you could understand, that's why Rabbi Meir learned from Acher. And Rabbi Meir is a separate issue, if you want to see. Rabbi Meir also deals with it. Once you understand these two realities, that they were struggling with these two perceptions in reality, that they are so... That's the manic depressive kind of. I'm telling you, this is like Jekyll and Hyde. You realize that this is a two perception that can drive somebody crazy. And this is Acher. So his Talmud Rameir also deals with it. That's why he has in his Sefer Torah, Kotnot Or, is written by us with an Ayin. And Rameir had in Sefer Torah with an Aleph. The Ayin and the Aleph are the two perceptions. If anybody sees, Aleph is that reality of unity that is ineffable. That's why the Aleph is beyond this world. This world starts with a bait. Because the Aleph is that reality. I just told you, that perception, which is only God. There is nothing as Echad Elokeinu Shema Shamayim Ba'aretz. So that's why it's the Ayin. And Ayin means something visual, is what sees. That's why in Hebrew, the old Hebrew, the Ayin was a picture of an eye. Right? So that's only a perceptive reality. And that's what Rabbi Meir says, I learned from Acher, because Acher is like a fruit that either you could eat inside and throw the outside, or vice versa, because the world is not clear which one. But those two are, that's how you could learn from him, because he was choosing one of those realities. And that's what it says. But let's continue. The Omru B'tikunim, in Tikkuni Zohar, says, Man de notar malchut belo teisha sfirot. We know there are 10 sfirot, the 10 emanations from God. One of them is the world of receivers, and 9 is the giver. If you separate the giver from the receiver, ukotzet b'ntiot, that's called kotzet b'ntiot. That's cutting it, separating the two. That's why Sefer Yetzirah says, be very careful. There are 10 sfirot and not 11. Because the perception is that there is 10 sfirot which is connected to God, and there is one which is independent. If you think the world is independent, that you have this complete independence, and therefore you could escape the two realities, that is kotzet b'nitiyot, is cutting malchus from the other 10. Shabriyah b'nitiyot pardes, because we know the creation and the trees of that orchard, v'davuk b'yichud amiti, and we connected to the ultimate yichud, v'shokeh yichud amiti kipshuto. So that's the first one. Mishalokech yichud kipshuto. But if a person believes that there's no reality, if you think that there are two worlds, one which is separate, one which is connected, and you separate the two universes, it's called kotzet b'nitiyot, is cutting the trees. But if you believe that there is no reality, like Shabtai Tzvi, you realize that this is the mistake of Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi made a bracha called Matir Asurim. He thought it was a bracha to be Matir Asurim, to be Matir, not Asurim, but to be Matir Isurim. He wanted to allow. Why? Because he thought that's the highest form, that is all godly, and we came to the Messianic age when there is no reality, no reality is a perceived reality. If you believe that there is only one world of perceived reality and there is nothing, the world doesn't exist and all that, and you leave it here, that's kofir beikan. You are going against the foundation of Torah, because the foundation of Torah is to say that there's a separate self and there is merit. So if you say that there are two universes parallel and you could jump from one to the other, it's called kotzet b'nitiyot, you're separating the umbilical cord. If you believe that there's no reality whatsoever, you're kofir b'ikar. You are denying the foundation of Torah. And that is, that's what he says, man did not the teisha sfirot below malchut. If you think there's only teisha sfirot, the malchut is an invention, doesn't exist. Kofir b'ikar. So this is the famous Tikkun Ezra. Tikkun Ezra says, the one who believes these two realities, called the higher reality and the lower reality, if you believe that they are two separate perceptions, parallel universes, and there's no connection, and you could jump from one to the other, you're cutting the umbilical cord. It's called kotzet b'nitiyot, you're cutting the tree away, the leaves from the tree. If you believe that the world here is just a fallacy, and you think that you found the matrix, and you found this thing, and you say, okay, the world doesn't exist, is kofir b'ikar. He is kofir in the foundation of Yiddishkeit, that there is a self, and we have to deal with the self. Pirush, malchut u'shchinato yitbarach b'tachtonim. Malchus means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is here, they are existence, and God is with us, connects to us. Shemakirim sheyesh borei, she's anhoges malchus kinskali. That's anhoges malchus. Whoever believes that it is irreconcilable, those two realities, that we saw before, I'm sorry. Okay, if you want to learn all the Agadas, every place where it talks about Acher, Chazal are trying to portray this dilemma of Acher, that he thought that the two realities, irreconcilable, could jump from one to the other. בתלמוד בבלי, ירושלם, פרק קדוש, בדרשרות, בזוהר, בכמה מקומות. וזה בנוחה, בדבב, מה שכתב בעניין טעות אחר. והדומה לא שגדולים מדיציאתה בר הגדול. It's not only אחר. Many people tried. I'm telling you, it's so funny. The mistake of אחר. If anybody reads Sufi literature, you'll see that there are people who did the same mistake. And if you look in the Buddha, that's always a mistake. Anybody who goes into contemplative meditative practices gets into this conundrum.
Is that an aim in their religion, or they realize?
In their religion, it's so funny. In Buddhism, this is the aim. The aim is to escape this reality into a higher reality. And for us, you cannot. You'll see how we do it. And that is the nuance that diverges us from all the other meditative practices. We'll see in a second. I just want to say that this meditative practices to see the reality of the world is extremely dangerous because you could fall into the conundrum of Acher. He has to be very, to have no preconceived ideas, because you realize that Acher got caught in his preconceived ideas. Therefore, have to be careful not to believe in himself that he has already reached that level. This is the mistake of Acher. Now, what do we do?
Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu struggle with this also? And when he's shown a vision of Rabbi Akiva, he says, Zutzer and Zutzkara, which Rabbi said.
Absolutely. Every person to Moshe Rabbeinu also. This is the struggle of Moshe. The Maral says that's why Lo Yada Ish et Gvurato, the Chazal, the Gemara Soda says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, people went to Har Nevo and they saw that he was down here. When they went down here, he was up there. Because he's floating these two realities. This is that conundrum. This is the double vision. And this is the reality that we live. But that's it. Now, so says the Rabbi, says the Tzodek, this higher meditative practice to realize that the world doesn't exist, that's not made for everybody. We just saw Acher made this mistake. If you go there, you might be stuck in a situation that you can't come back. Chazal always say that this perception, which is the perception of monism, that the world doesn't exist, it's always mentioned within the realm of Malchut. And Malchut always means that there is a separate subject. So even that is subject. Take a look at it. It says, Shemoira sheyesh am tachtav. The lule ze lo sheyach tor melech. Kingdom is predicated upon the existence of a separate subject. So always when we relate to God, we never relate to God in that higher form. Because that higher form is not made for us. It's made for prophets. That's not what we do. God is always a king, which means kingdom is predicated upon the existing of subjects which are separate from the king. Take a look what he says. And this is the Chiddush of Tzadik. V'aynu ki yesh. And now I want people to remember this. Melech u'malchut. The two anhogas, the two parallel universes that we can relate, is one is called king and the other one is called kingdom. Melech and malchut. So the higher form of Ichud, which is this Ichud of Acher, which is only meditative practices, this is forbidden for anybody to go. And that's why all the meditative practices that we have, people went crazy against them. And they buried them and they put them away. And I told you, Rabbi Avraham Abulafia is the one that wrote his meditative practices and the Rashba went crazy today. Because this is extremely dangerous. Not only by us, by every religion. But we can have the two forms of Yichud, the lower and the higher, into something which is called Melech and Malchut. And this will answer the famous conundrum of the Tzimtzum Kipshutai. Now listen to this. And this is the Malchut Nikra Nagod Aramlucha. Malchut kingdom means how a king relates to his kingdom. So there exists a kingdom. And God relates to the kingdom like a king. A king has his protocol. How he relates to his subjects. That's called the glory of the kings. Or that's called the glory of the kingdom or the glory of the kings. Because the protocol of Malchus is a covet, is giving honor to the king. And what is the rulership, the kingdom, is how the subjects perceive the king. It's a relationship. Kingdom means a relationship, a protocol. Vezeu Yehudatato. So Yehudatato, we are going to call from now on Malchut. That's called Malchut. Aval Toar Melech, but however, there is a higher form. And that's called king. Not kingdom, but it's called Melech. God is a king, doesn't really have a kingdom. Hu lemelech mitzad atzmo, is the king, is the king only. Keshu nivdal manogas amalucha, is a king which is separate from ruling the kingdom, from the protocol. He's a king on his own. Rak shemikol makom yishalav shemelech. It's a ichud. It's only a melech. But melech means that allows for creatures to exist. In good English, this is called constructed reality. We have to leave. The higher form of Yichud is not that there is no reality, but we are a constructed reality. We are part of the Gilui of Hashem called Melech. You hear? So not that the world doesn't exist, but the whole world is the part of God's glory. But that's Melech. So Yichud Ha'ilo is Melech, Yichud Ha'tato is Malchut. And this is what we can actually relate to. Take a look what it says. ומאחר שקראתי בריא שיש בורא ומנהיג הוא כבוד מלכותו. So since that we know that our perception that there is a creator and he rules the world, that is the ייחוד התתו, that's כבוד מלכות. והנהגת המלכות כשאין הנוגל מלכה חיינו כשאין הקורא בצד הזה רק בצד אמיתי. However, there is a form of understanding the kingdom without the protocol. אלא שאינו בשגת ייחוד הגמור. That's not ייחוד גמור. ייחוד גמור means nothing is less. That you can't, you're not allowed to, don't even touch it. What you could do it is that there is something called the protocol of kingdom. Protocol means we exist, we follow rules. That's ייחוד התתו. ייחוד הלא is הקדוש ברוך הוא reveals himself as מלך, and we are part of that revelation. In good English, a constructed reality. We are a reality, but we are a constructed reality. And that is Malchut. The ultimate Yichud, that nothing exists, the inexistence, the monism, only prophets can do it, and it's very, very dangerous. רק הסוג השאר של כל אחד מצד הכרת הנברי מלכותו התברך שזה אומר יותר כל אחד. That midah that we know that Kushbuch rules the world, that everybody can do it. ומצד הזה, since that you know that Kushbuch exists and he's involved with your life, you could go one step further. Not that he exists and he's the king and he's involved with your life. להתבונן כרגע ביחוד אמיתי, you have the ability to go one step forward and to jump from the two realities. Come, כן שזכרנו. You realize that this, since you know that's Malchut, God ruled the world and you have a self-existence, you're always allowed to jump and to realize that our self-existence is part of God's glory, that nobody has really a self-existence. So that's an in-between, is a Bein Hashmoshes. And this is life. You realize that we have the connecting point in Yiddishkeit. There is never a clean break. There's no such thing as a clean break. Because a clean break would mean, because I told you, day and night. You break day and night, we have something called Bein Hashmoshes, which is good Yiddish, it's called Nishtahinu Nishtahar. Neither here nor there. Neither fish nor fowl. Any break, right, between the prophets. You had prophets, and you have the Torah Shebaal generation. You had a generation in between, called Anshe Knesset Agdolah, they were in between. Between the Tanaim and the Moraim. Who was it? Rav Tana Hu Upalik was somebody in between that was an Emora but could have been a Tana. Why? Because he was Minyona the Rebbe. Between the Emoraim and the Geonim, there was some Rabbanan Savoroi. There is never. Between the Rishonim and the Achronim, there are the people in between. The Beis Yosef, he's the first of the Rishachronim and the last of the Rishonim. Always. Always you have this. Because we live in a world that there is two realities which are irreconcilable. The lower and the higher reality. We have the Bein Hashmoshes, the in-between, which is now, we have Malchut, which is Yichud HaTato, you have the Yichud HaMiti, and then you have something called Melech, which is constructed reality. And that is the connecting point that allows you to feel and to reflect that really nothing can hurt you. Is the idea that we exist, but don't. We are constructed reality. Constructed reality is exactly what Neo in the matrix comes to exist. He lives there, but nothing can really hurt him. So that is a perception that you go and you come back because you know that you have to live a life. But you realize that the life, but you're always connected to God. So that in between the jump is called the jump of Melech. And that is what you'll see is ultimate Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is all about to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech. Melech without Baruch Hu. This is it. That's all. We're going to do the exercises now that Ramchal practices that in Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, everybody has to go and have this leap jump. But never to the Yichud Amiti, but to the Melech. Take a look what he says. Mitzad Zikwe. You're never going to understand God completely independent of us. That doesn't exist. Always comes through Malchus. That's what he says. That's what Chazal says. That's how far you go. Go to Malchus. Take from Malchus to Melech. That's it. This is the Muna Sayichud according to us, the Rechamuna Mosel Kolecha Jeshala Sigual Piatera. Sheikinem Tsoy bin Shtidar Kiasoga Sayichud. This is the in between, the Bein Hashmoshes. Commission is Boya. That's the Tsoy Bein Hashmoshes. We have this Bein Hashmoshes. You have Malchus, you have Yichud Amiti, and you have the Shem Melech in between. And the Shem Melech is an exercise. Take a look what it says. Ube Sefer Yitzira. Sefer Yetzirah was dedicated to explain how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the lower world, which is Ichud HaTato, how the world was created and run by God. Shonu, even then, which is Ichud HaTato, Sefer Yetzirah says, Imratz Libcha, you'll see that once you understand that God runs the world, God's involved, your neshama will try to extrapolate to see, you know, something. Everything is God. We are just representing God's kingdom. Says Sefer Yetzirah, Shuv Lamakom. Make sure to come back. You go, but come back. That's why the Melachim, the angels that Yechezkel saw, they were at so Pashov. They would go and come back. Shalidea Soga Main Sebrachis. Because the Chiddush is that through learning in analytical form, Main Sebrachis, Halev Rat Litbonen Aliado Basoga Zechazitim, you're going to realize that you're going to get close to realize that this is a construction. It's not real. It's a construction. It's like when you do quantum. It's real. This is not reality. It's just how we perceive reality. You cannot stay there. You have to come back. To come back. And that's why the all this forum that we spoke, they talk about the tzimtzum kipshu. You have to assume that God made space for us. But that space is what's called kipshutoi, perceptive pshutoi. So it's not a reality that you can say, okay, it doesn't exist. It exists, but it's a perceptive. This is how we are masik. That's why in that midah of the creation is connected, that you mentioned last time, that's connected for the first and the last of the miracles that was the highest of the miracles that were in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. That's all Amar Ladam Makom, Shalamada, or Lo Amar Adam Lachavero, Salamakom Shalim Rishalayim. That one of the miracles was that people did not say to each other, I don't have space for me in Rishalayim. And we spoke last week for a second, the miracle should be that there was space for everybody. And as I told you last week, right, in Dubai, they're making enough hotel rooms. That's not the miracle. The miracle is the perception of room. And that perceptive of reality is how we have to perceive that we have space, we are constructed, we are gilui kvod malchusai. We have to look at the tzimtzum kipshuto. We have to assume that there is a space for us. That's the Bein Hashmoshes. We live in the reality that we can never go above. We live in the reality of the Bein Hashmoshes. Ve'uit banunut kerega. And this is only momentarily you could extrapolate. When you say the word echad, there is one unity everywhere. Everybody, like that's Nefesh HaChaim says the same idea. In the word echad, you could perceive that. You could contemplate that. That we are perceived reality. That God is everywhere. That there are no miracles. God can do whatever he wants. that feeling that you're close to God in such a way that nobody can hurt you. Because truly, truly, it's only a constructed independence that people have, that everybody can do it, but you have to come back. Now, the reality that nothing exists, you can't bring to anybody. That's something that you cannot publicize, you cannot practice. These things which are the core of the universe, you cannot, they are under the levush, they are under your clothing. In other words, in the world, it's a cloth. And that cloth is tzimtzum kipshuto. Now you should know something. Why is Kabbalah called hidden secrets? Why is it called exoteric learning? Right? Why is it called so esoteric learning? Why is it called esoteric learning? It's not because you have a mitzvah to hide it. There's no such thing. Our sages say the opposite. The secrets, you're not allowed to reveal secrets. But what makes them secrets? Why is Kabbalah a secret? Who's making it a secret? It's not a secret because you're not allowed to tell. Just the opposite. You're not allowed to tell because it's a secret. Who made it into a secret? Just because they're called secrets. Why do you have to go ahead and hide it? What, there's a mitzvah to hide secrets? Why is that? They are secrets, not because of a mitzvah to keep them secret. That's not such a thing. Rak mitzad atzman, these things are secrets on their own. Hem devorim nistorim kvushim shekol echad lo ele asigam lo bodim tam, because we can't understand it. It's not something that you could really understand it. The reason why they're secrets is because God gave us a system of a brain that cannot capture that reality. Is a secret because God didn't give us the faculties to understand. Just the opposite, the Rambam says, to be able to perceive that real reality, you have to close and shut out all that's meditative practices. Meditative practices is to shut all of your faculties to allow the inner self connecting to that reality. And then you could say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do that, why did he give us faculties? Because we cannot shut them down. And therefore, our meditative practices, and Jacob Katz already says, is never shutting everything down. You don't turn off the system. You always keep the system on. You allow the system to go into overdrive, the Binah Shmoshes. Right? You allow the system to go in overdrive. It's always an experience from learning. There is no such a thing that somebody says, you know, something, I'm going to experience, forget about learning, forget about everything, let those just meditative practices, and we're going to go ahead and to go to a guru, like other religions do that. Because that's the opposite. Our meditative practices are predicated on the rational. What Jacob Katz always says, we need to have kelim. Always there will be kelim. The kelim might be very rarefied, but you need kelim, you need vessels. You need clothing. You can't allow without that. This is what Elisha ben Abuya experienced, was something called Shviras HaKelim. He came to such a thing that all the Kelim started disappearing because he realized that nothing existed. We are not allowed to break the Kelim. We have always to have Kelim. And therefore, our meditative practices are not by shutting down the system, but taking the system and rarefying it. So the more you learn, you could escape the reality. And therefore, you're going to see that the way how to achieve this is not shutting yourself down. And that's why, who am I to say, but Rav Tzaddik is not a school to go ahead and to start doing these breathing techniques that Rabbi Kaplan quotes and to say sounds. All of this, that's not Rav Tzaddik. Rav Tzaddik is not saying that. Because you see, there is a meditative practice that you shut yourself down. And Rabbi Kaplan in his book has the everybody knows there's there is a sound which makes your soul shut itself down. You could shut your system. You shut your system, you go, and that's what it is. That's why they have, typical example, right? If you look at many of the Buddhist meditative practices are the vows of silence. They become silent. Our tiny dibur is never to be completely silent. Is not to say dvarim betirma, but to learn. It's always Vesed. That's why Jacob Katz is interesting. When William James came to say, there is a universal meditative experience, the experience of the one, and everybody's talking about the same thing, he says, it's not true. Because he was very Jewish. Because in Jewish, there is never such a thing. You can only go through learning. And the way how to do it, you repeat learning many times until you basically start focusing on the words and you really are able to take the words into a higher form. But it's always within words. And therefore, when you escape, you come back. And therefore, all the meditative practices is to take a text, that's what we're going to do, and to learn the text well, and to chazar, to review. That's why chazor is such an important thing. Because the more you chazar, the less you focus on the mechanical reading, and you go into the meaning of the reading. And the more you do that, you're able to extrapolate into perception. Your perception becomes more experiential. But it's always connected through text. Never outside, and there is never. So that's why when I saw that, I know that there were meditative practices like this. Reb Tzodok is the one, like the guy who always goes to keep shooter. It's telling you, don't touch that. That's not for us. That's why they hid the fourth chelik, the fourth part of the of the Ari, which is Reb Chaim Vital. They put it away. The fourth chelik was taken away. Meditative practices without words, meaning this meditative practices, which is the Yichud Amiti, we don't touch. We touch from Malchus to Melech.
I think once you've done the meditative practices, some kind of cognitive exercise by the words, but the experience that the person has once he gets beyond that, similar?
No, because the cognitive experience, which comes with the experience that comes through cognitive ways, which is Tzodek, which is learning, you always will come back. You always will come back. You always have kelim to be imratz lipcha shavi, because you have a grounding. The only meditative because you're attached. That's why, by the way, the meditative practice of a Buddhist is not to be attached, because they want you to escape the reality. So for them, it's very important to detach, not to have any perception, any sounds, any words will take it away. And for us, words will lead you, not take it away. But let's see what it says. ומזה נלמד. כל הספורים שחיברו חכמי הדור הזכרו, therefore the later קבול הספורים. לאז בענייני חוכמת הקבלה שמובנים לשכל אדם ומשגים בלב כל אדם בביהם, אין אלו בכלל דבורים שקשון שלום. All ספורים, they talk cognitively, that they have a cognitive way to describe, is not real Kabbalah, because Kabbalah is that ichud which is non-cognitive, non-verbal. Even though all this Kabbalah form that we have today is all Emes, you call Mokus Ramusag Lucholachat Afalpi Hamusag Lucholachat Af Shalon is Dive Homeliot Nimshat Begachut. In Ela Sogets, a mind separation, that is still not called real Kabbalah. It's only the Bein Hashmoshes. The Ainuch Karat and Ivreim Sheshbore. Even though they're talking about the Yichud Amiti. Whatever we understand of the Yichud Amiti is only that Bein Hashmoshes is Melech without Malchus. Shezacharnu shelde asagat kvod Melechim chakor davar umisig ze bechakirato veratz libo lefamim. Therefore, the more you chazer and you become detached of the mechanical aspect, ratz lefamim kumaregis bodi chabit, sometimes you go and you reach out. Take of shalom combat, because you are grounded, you will come back. Shumashu nivro makir bo, that you realize that you have a self and you have to deal with the self. Shezeu mekamoto mirkosh kol echad kol von shliv shat mogishvut. As long as you are human, that's how you have to do it. Bizdaklo machshov esmok v'libo et levor b'iltashu levado. If a person gets into a higher madriga, a madriga of a novi, a madriga of the of Reb Chaim Vital, then you could go ahead and do kod afshot as a levushim. You could go ahead and to undress reality and escape. But that's something very dangerous, and therefore you shouldn't do it.
Isn't that where, you know, tefillah, where we have a set language?
Absolutely.
So that, in turn, that becomes the...
That's why there's a set language. We're going to see that, and that's exactly right, because there is a set language, not to focus on the mechanical, to use the words to extrapolate, use the letters to extrapolate, or the cognitive to go beyond the cognitive. You cannot be caught in the cognitive. And the only way to do it is to really go back time and again and time and again until the mechanical doesn't become, and that's the idea of tefillah. And that, by the way, Rabbi Kaplan says that. Yeah, that's why exactly, tefillah has to be. Because if you tefillah, you are trying to think about new ideas and new things, you become completely caught into the mechanical part of it, which is so little. So this is the Yiddishkeit that we know. The Yiddishkeit that we know, I always say, Ben Hashmoshes, is not the quote-unquote fault or the, what you call, the defect of Yiddishkeit. That's the mile of Yiddishkeit. We live in a world of Ben Hashmoshes. And that Ben Hashmoshes is that in-between. So we have two realities, and is Melech and Malchut, but has always to come through the cognitive. A guy who is a Kabbalist, who is an Amoret, that experiential Kab Mekubo, at least this group, we don't hold off. And we push. And that's what the Rashba that throughout the generation tried to push that away. Because if you go through that perception with meditative practices, you could fall into very difficult places. And there's so much to it to say. And the way to do it is, I brought it and I'll bring Mishnah next time, you'll see that the way how to measure is the following. There is a book which I'll bring next week. Your brain reacts differently. So what we are trying to do in the world of perception is take through text, but by doing it many times and thinking and pondering, making the brain process that information differently to a higher form of perception. But it's always through text, always through letters. In Maratz Libcha, you can only escape and then bring back. So the brain functions and comes back. It's almost like near-death experience. But it's always verbal, so it always comes back. And the way to do it is, again, the few texts, that you have to read sometimes 100 times over. Trust me, I can only achieve that by reading 100 times. Because then you're not focused. You already know the text by heart. That's why Chazal say, they can compare 100 to 101. And the reason is because once you start doing it, it becomes natural, becomes the language of the soul. But it's always through that. You follow what we are trying to achieve in Yiddishkeit is to go from Malchut to Melech. From reality to a constructed reality. Science does that. Right? You take Newtonian physics, and you realize that's all perception. It's all constructed. Quantum tells you that all life is a big construct. All life is a tree of probabilities. That greatness is what Yiddishkeit is all about, and that's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, U'Malchut Bakol Mashallah. Malchus is only Memshallah. Is not really. That is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. If you want to know, and this we're going to see, Rav Utner says, what is the message? We know, and on Shabbos, always, V'taher Dibeinu Le'avdecho Be'emet, usually comes before V'anchilein Hashem Lokeinu, right? V'anchilein comes afterwards, right after the Bracha. On Rosh Hashanah, if you pay attention to the Maxor, V'anchilein comes before V'taher Dibeinu Le'avdecho Be'emet. Says of that because V'tayr libeinu lo'avdecha be'emet is Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's the next of the Chasima. V'tayr libeinu, get our heart to worship you with truth. Truth is the reality of life. There's no world that we're getting paid and we are sachar. It's all nice. That's not what it is. It's much greater than that. That's the idea of Rosh Hashanah, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu goes from Malchut into Melech. And that's the idea, and hopefully, God willing, we'll do in 2 weeks, we'll do one text on the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, and we'll do the text of the Ramchal used, and hopefully if people chazer it many, 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 many times over, if you would have to yourself, and you could measure a EEG and an MRI, you see how the brain function will start changing. Have a great Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Thank you.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Actually, lo chen, the 101 times, lo chen, it's been much of 101.
Ah, okay.